This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. And this week we're talking with Ryan Campen. He's directing Frost Nixon at the Cornstalk Winter Playhouse. The production opens tonight. Ryan, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me again.
And I guess the question you have to start with when you're talking about this play is these are real people who are being portrayed on the stage. As a director, how do you approach working with your actors to create performances that are authentic but not caricatures?
Well, that was a difficult thing, particularly with the role of Nixon. But as a general rule, I approached it in the idea of I had done a tremendous amount of research since October 2011, since I was given the project. And in that time, I'd learned a lot, but I realized if I was to give my actors every bit of information that I have, they wouldn't learn a thing. So I said, you know, there are a lot. These are television personalities. These are radio personalities. There's a way to go and look and listen to how these people, and most of them are still alive. And there's a way to go and listen to them and figure out, you know, how they sounded, what their nuances were. We used that as a starting point, but ultimately we kind of drifted in a few directions, with the exception of Nixon and Frost, who are obviously the most known of the characters. And keeping it from a caricature aspect, especially with Nixon, there was a line that we had to walk. Nixon, we wanted a bit of the voice, but at the same point in time, we didn't want, you know, I am not a crook and stuff like that. And so when it came to auditions, that was a rule that I had set down saying, let's avoid caricature. It's not a good thing to have in a play like this. This is a serious subject. And I would prefer to be able to take more of the weight of what these characters were feeling and then go from there with the idea of, let's add a little bit of the caricature, but not the caricature, back into it.
And is this a line that you walk differently at different moments in the play? Because the play opens with Nixon's resignation speech. And I mean, that's a documented historical moment that's been preserved forever, and we've all seen the tape. Do you find yourself wanting to be a little more literal in moments like that and then give the actor a little more flexibility in other scenes?
To a point, yes. But at the same time, I wanted Paul Gordon, who plays Nixon, to be able to go in his own different direction with the character. Obviously, it is Richard Nixon on stage. You look at him, he has the slicked back hair with the receding hairline. He has the nose. He has the stoop. He has a bit of the voice. But at the same point in time, it's very boring to take exactly what you see on television in 1974 or 1977 when it takes place. It was still a line that we walked, but I think I had a little leniency on it, particularly with the resignation speech.
I was fortunate enough to see the show last night, and honestly, there were maybe two, three spots where I chuckled at Paul doing Nixon. He almost can't help it. Is that correct?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about that. You know, there are definitely moments. The story that I like to give the most is, you know, when I was in auditions and we were casting Nixon, and I was standing there, and it was like it was all coming together. I had a lot of the parts in my mind, and I was still kind of on the fence about Nixon. And I had him read that resignation speech that starts the show, and I closed my eyes and I just probably had this giggly schoolgirl look on my face because I'm like, that's Richard Nixon. No question about it at all. And I think that the audience will see that same thing, saying, oh, my gosh, Paul Gordon is channeling Richard Nixon.
He channeled him. Again, I was there and I was thinking, you must have thought, I just struck gold.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Let's also talk a little bit about Andrew Harrison, the actor who's playing Frost,
sure.
Because that's as much a challenge in its own way, because Frost is this television personality. He's got a style to him that's distinctly his, and of course, Frost has to be the main antagonist. So this has to be a character that's played well enough and sharply enough to go toe-to-toe with Nixon. So can you talk a little bit about working with that actor?
Well, first and foremost, I really find Frost to be the protagonist of the story. The way that I've always seen this show since I read the script for the first time was that this show is really about Andrew's character, David Frost, trying to get over the hurdle of getting to interview Richard Nixon and prove himself. Now, at first, he doesn't have the best intentions at heart. He's trying to get back to the top table at Sardi's. That was his goal. And at the same time, you know, as the show goes on, he realizes this is serious business. You know, he's got to take it into he takes it into strides, and it's a David and Goliath story with David Frost and his team more or less trying to go up against the unstoppable force that is Nixon. I think Andrew plays it in spades. He has the British accent down. He has the swagger, the style, you know, everything. And he looks like he's and with his wig, he's got the hair. So it's it's fun. It's and he does a wonderful job, and he's able to really show that journey from a playboy into a respected journalist.
Yeah, I found him to be bright, intelligent, strategic, intuitive, not at all intimidated by the gentleman who dominates the stage, and that really is...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You had mentioned earlier that you have been doing research into this era since you first learned that you were going to be directing the show. Can you talk a little bit about what you looked at and how much of that did you encourage your actors to do?
When I started, I took a look at the project from the perspective of how much can I learn about mainly David Frost and Richard Nixon? How much can I learn about them and take it into the production? And as I got further into the research, I had a 1,000-page biography of Nixon, and I got about 150 pages into it before I realized I don't need to focus on all this stuff. And so it came down to let's watch the tapes. Let's watch the interviews. They are, you know, they're available for everyone. They're on YouTube. You can buy a DVD of them. You know, they're all over the place. I took a look at those with a fine-tooth comb several times throughout it. A lot of directors don't like to watch the feature film. I did watch the feature film, and it was more for the idea of how can I do this differently from the perspective of doing this as a stage play as opposed to a movie. Then I looked at articles. I looked at a lot of information, and I would go back and look at that stuff again and again and again. And to be honest with you, Andrew Harrison, who plays Frost, he knew a lot more about me, I think, even by the end of the process. And, I mean, he was showing me stuff. I mean, there was a book by David Frost that was written at the time of the interview and right after it, actually. I read that. Following that, and it was following hearing about it from Andrew, and it really helped the process along into the final steps about, you know, after we're past blocking, getting into the characterization, getting into the ideas of the, in people's heads.
Talk about the show's format, first act, second act. People need not be under the erroneous assumption that it really is entirely an interview.
That's correct. The first act takes a look at the idea of just preparing for the interviews from the event in 1974, Richard Nixon resigning, and what Frost was doing that time in Australia when he was hosting a show there. It then goes through the preparations up until the night before the interview, where Frost is off at a movie premiere and Nixon is feverishly doing his research in preparation for the interviews. The second act takes it from the perspective of the interviews and all the conflict then behind it, especially among Team Frost. They have different goals in mind, and that really comes to head. It's historically known that they end up working together and, you know, manage to set out to achieve what they set out to do.
Another thing that's interesting about what you've done with Act Two is because that's the part of the production that recreates the interviews. You've brought cameras onto the stage, and you're actually using video to project images of Frost and Nixon up onto screens. Can you talk about the decision to incorporate that element?
When I was given this production, I was asked to incorporate some sort of a multimedia element. Cornstalk was trying to utilize that a lot more in the 2012-2013 Winter Playhouse season. And I took it from the idea of how can we do this differently? I wanted to avoid PowerPoint presentations. I wanted to avoid anything that has been done time and time again. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, wait a minute, this is a show about a television interview. I wonder if we can make this happen. I wonder if we can put live video and canned video on stage and make it part of the experience. My degree is actually from Bradley University in 2002. I have a degree in broadcast communication. So it was just kind of a natural fit once I thought about it. And I had a good friend who lives in the area. His name's Jim Kelly. He used to own his own production company. He now works for OSF. He managed to bring in the equipment free of cost to us and let us borrow, which was fantastic, and is running the video during the show. And it's been a great experience. There was some concern that it wasn't going to get pulled off, but as both of you know, as both of you have seen the show at this point, it works, and it works very well. And I think it's something that's new and different, and I think it's something that is going to really stick out for the audience in this show.
Well, it brings me to the point of some of your other props. People that remember that era are going to love the clothing, the telephones. Are you in charge of that, too, or do you have an assistant that helps get the look and feel to the era?
I make the overall decisions in regards to props and costumes and everything, but ultimately I do have department heads who handle that role. My costumer, Lisa Chamberlain, is a wonderful asset in regards to period pieces. Kristen Whitaker, who's doing my props, this is her first go at it, and I dragged her in kicking and screaming, but I think she's really enjoyed herself, and she's managed to do a wonderful job with her first time out. And let's see, makeup, we have, including the prosthetic nose, was done by a young girl who named Emily Rusk, who has really managed to do a wonderful job in a short period of time of pulling Nixon and Frost's and everyone else's looks together.
What was it about this show or this script that made you want to submit it and direct it in the first place?
Well, I spoke a little earlier about the David and Goliath story, which an underdog always appeals. It always appeals to an artist, and it always appeals to an audience. I think that adding that and the technical issues of producing live video on stage, I think that those together really were what I was looking to take care of.
Ryan Campen is the director of Frost Nixon. The show opens tonight at the Cornstalk Winter Playhouse in Upper Bradley Park. Performances continue through the 16th. Ryan, break a leg.
Thank you very much, Nathan.
Nathan, other events playing in the Peoria area? Picture This Gallery in Peoria Heights is holding a reception for artist Chris Aresis tonight from 5 to 9 p.m. The exhibit features 16 of Chris's photograms that he creates using natural light and found objects. Chris has a particular interest in examining how science and history intersect, and so you'll see this connection appearing in his work. If you can't make the reception tonight, the exhibit does continue until April 13th.
And two legendary blues guitarists are performing tonight at the Peoria Civic Center Theater. Buddy Guy is one of the elder statesmen of the blues world. He's been playing since the 1950s, and he's been a major influence on a lot of musicians in the 60s and 70s. He's being joined by Johnny Lang, who became kind of a breakout figure back in the 90s when he was still just a teenager. So this is two generations of blues guitarists sharing the stage tonight at the Civic Center.
Out and About is a production of WCBU Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you with the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
If you'd like to subscribe to our weekly podcast, go to PeoriaPublicRadio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio.